Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey guys, this is Chael Sonnen. Make sure you check out my podcast, You're Welcome. We talk about MMA, we talk about professional wrestling, politics, anything you need to know about today's top issues so that you can sound intelligent, and you get them all from me, your humble host, America's favorite gangster. Make sure you check me out. You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. New episodes every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, and of course, PodcastOne.com.
Mistrial, an inside look at how the criminal justice system works and sometimes doesn't. Written by Mark Garagus and Pat Harris and narrated by Mike Dawson.
Another thing about the Scott Peterson case that has always puzzled us is the widespread, almost unanimous opinion that Scott was guilty before one piece of evidence was introduced. If you examine every high-profile case of the past two decades, OJ, Michael Jackson, Casey Anthony, Robert Blake, the Duke lacrosse team, Dr. Conrad Murray, you'll see that every one of the defendants had some group or constituency that argued on behalf of their innocence. But Scott Peterson didn't. When we took over the case, we soon found out that it was considered an accepted fact that he was guilty.
Mistrial. Available now at iTunes, Audible, and AdamCarolla.com.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Couple of treats planned for you guys today. We are live at the Irvine Improv, up on stage, doing the podcast with the great Dennis Prager. That's going to be a good one. We're up there. We'll be discussing No Safe Spaces, many other things, philosophical things. So I think you'll enjoy the show quite a bit. Now, you want to talk about a departure. Roy Jones Jr. will be first. I pre-taped that a couple days back. Interesting cat. Go ahead and, like you said, Google him and watch some of his highlights. One of the most gifted fighters ever to get in the ring. I don't know, toughest, baddest, hardest working. I don't know about any of that, but gifted. Probably top two or three all time, maybe number one, if most gifted in terms of ability fighter. So we'll have Roy Jones, and then we'll have his doppelganger, Dennis Prager. The huge Jew. First, blinds galore, man. Oh, man, they do one thing, and they do it better than anyone else. They create 100% custom window treatments built to your exact measurements down to every little detail. We use it. Now, it's getting hot out here, and it's probably getting hot wherever you are, and it keeps it cool. It just bounces. I get them in white. They bounce the sun's rays off, but they look, I don't know, pick a color. I talk to the blinds galore people. They like it when people go with color. So I went with the navy blue for the other studio. So we got the studio, my bathroom, warehouse, everything. It's all blinds galore, man. Why would you go anywhere else? They've covered over 2 million windows. It's all we use. Go to blindsgalore.com and let them help you. They have designers there. Look at the designer shades and blinds you've always wanted without the price tag. Check them out at blindsgalore.com. Really great business, great guys, and great sponsors. Tell them I sent you, Blinds Galore. All right, let's listen to what the great Roy Jones Jr. has to say about the Ward Kovalev fight. Ward Kovalev 2. Roy Jones Jr., champion, four-time world champion. Roy Jones Jr. is on the line. Ward Kovalev 2, that's tomorrow night, Saturday, June 17th, only available on HBO pay-per-view. Welcome to the show, Roy.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So you're at the first fight, and I'd like to know what your thoughts were sitting ringside at the first Ward Kovalev fight.
Sitting ringside, I felt like Kovalev probably had the advantage because he did better in his particular half of the fight. He was more dominant in his particular half of the fight than was Ward in his particular half of the fight. However, I felt as though both guys had parts in the fight where they were dominant. Ward did do a lot of inside work that some people may not give credit for. Some people may give credit for. And that's why I say it was a fight that could have gone either way. Probably I would have scored a draw that first time, but it could have gone either way. And I thought both fighters did really well in their respective times. They both did kind of what they wanted to do. Ward kind of landed bigger shots in the early part of the fight, which is what he planned to do. Kovalev. Ward kind of took the last part of the fight and made it to where it was inside, ugly type of fight, which is what he needed to do. So that fight, Kovalev dominated the first half, but he got a knockdown. Ward pretty much dominated the second half, but he didn't get a knockdown, which is why I thought the fight either would have been a draw or the tip may have gone to Kovalev.
So as a guy, I don't want to lead you, but you just tell me, as a guy who's had many belts, do you feel like the belt needs to be taken from you? I feel Kovalev feels like it wasn't taken from me. Or do you just feel like it's a fight and whoever outpoints the next guy wins the fight?
No, I feel just like Kovalev. This to me good, and this is what people see in my life. People are getting so far away from what God gives us. God gives us examples. He gives us nature. In nature, you can't go there and one animal battles with another animal and he just does good with that animal and that other animal runs off and gives him supremacy of the area. No, you have to beat that animal to win supremacy of the area, or the animal still remains the head guy in that area. So it's just like life. So in order to beat the champion, you have to beat the champion to take the title. You don't just get the title for doing well with the champion. That's what misleads us. And I feel like in that case, that even with that fight, I feel like the Danny Jacobs fight kind of was overspill of that fight, because Danny did really good with Triple G, and I think Danny thought that if I just do good with him, that may be enough that I can get lucky and get a decision. Well, no, you have to beat him to get a decision. So if Danny would have applied himself just a little bit more and took that no, you have to beat the champ mentality, he may have had a better chance to win that fight. It was a great fight for him. It was in his reach to win it. Just that I think that he settled for, if I just do well enough with the champ, maybe I can win. And that's a misconception that we're giving people, because we're giving close fights to the challengers instead of either calling them a draw or giving them to the champ. But think about this. In a draw, the champ keeps the belt anyway. Why? Because if it's a draw, that means you didn't beat the champ, so he remains champion. So what is that telling you? You have to beat the champ to be the champ, right?
I agree. As a fan, I feel like the champ did so much to earn that belt. To take it away when it's a sort of 55-45 split or 51-49 split, I don't like that.
I don't either.
I don't say you have to vanquish the champ or knock him out. I just want it to be decisive. Hey, nobody's arguing.
Hey, you need to dominate. If you don't dominate the champ, then you shouldn't replace the champ, because he's been dominant over his time as being champ. So you need to dominate him so that we know you can dominate his position. Or if you just do well with him, that don't mean you can dominate his position. So you have to dominate the champ in order to take his belt. If you don't dominate the champ, you shouldn't take his belt. Every belt I ever took, I dominated that champion.
Well, look, you were the most dominant fighter.
I'm just saying that every belt that I ever took, I dominated the champion. I never did good with a champion and won his belt. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to dominate to show that this is why I should be champion. And that's what everybody that fight for a belt should do.
I always explain to everybody, and then I'll tell you a story about Sylvester Stallone, because we were talking about you about 5 days ago. So you might have an idea of what it's over, but I'll tell you that I always say, you know, there are a lot of tough guys, Arturo Gatti, Mickey Ward, those types, Jake LaMotta, like guys like that. But when you take that kind of will and that kind of chin, and then you mix it with an athleticism, then you get Roy Jones Jr. And being tough or having a will to walk forward or having a granite jaw is fine, but it doesn't make you the kind of champion you'll be when you have the crazy athleticism. I feel Roy Jones Jr., I feel Sugar Ray, the first Sugar Ray, and Sugar Ray Leonard, just the ability to do something, to move backwards, other than walk forward. And I feel like your athleticism is what made you dominate. I mean, toughness and hand speed and all that stuff's great, but you had athleticism over guys like, you know, like Roberto Duran was a tough dude who didn't have athleticism. Sugar Ray was a tough dude who had athleticism.
You're exactly right.
So you could have played basketball, or did, right?
Yep.
Was there ever thoughts about going into any other sports?
No, just basketball. I could have played football had I wanted to, but I never chose to, because there were a lot of injuries at the time in football. It was such a contact sport that I felt like I may injure myself as far as boxing goes, so I didn't do it.
So I'm sitting down with Sylvester Stallone. I've never met the man before in my life, but I used to be a boxing coach. So I said, we started talking boxing. And boy, you talk boxing with Sylvester Stallone, and it doesn't end anytime soon, but who would want it to end? You're sitting there smoking a cigar with Sylvester Stallone talking about boxing. And he brought up Balboa, I think it was, and he ended up with Antonio Tarver in that movie, and he said, I was dying to get Roy Jones Jr. to play that part, but I called the guy, and he never returned my calls. Does that sound familiar?
No, it doesn't, because I did return the call, just that we couldn't move at certain times when we each other wanted to move, so it didn't quite happen. I had a secretary at the time who really wasn't as sufficient as she should have been, but we did return the call, so it's not true that we didn't return the call, just that things didn't work out the way they should have, so it didn't happen, but she did return the calls, and we did talk a couple of times to his people, so I knew we did return the calls, it didn't happen the way he wanted to, so that's how that went.
Well, he was dying to have you in his movie, and I completely agreed that Roy Jones certainly would knock it out of the park in that role. But do you want to act? Is it like, disappointed?
I love acting. Yes, it was a bit disappointing because I do love acting. So I would have definitely looked forward to doing it. I was in The Matrix 2. I was in a few movies, and I really love acting. I look forward to acting more. So, yes, I definitely want to act, and I would love to do any kind of movies that make sense for me. Yes, I would love to do.
So a couple last questions for Roy Jones Jr., who really just so dominating and so athletic back in his prime. I heard you played basically a minor league basketball game before a fight. Is that true?
That's very true.
So you went out. What time was the game and what time was the fight?
The game was 12 o'clock in the afternoon and the fight was at 9 o'clock at night. So I went out to play the game, played about 15, 20 minutes. Then I rested and I went back that night and fought a guy who, after I fought him, became WBC super middleweight champion and held the title for about 3 years. So it wasn't just no bum that I fought. The guy that I fought went on to become champion and stayed champion for quite a while. So, I mean, it was a great night, but I wanted to prove that a boxer can be capable of doing other things. Yet, not only am I doing it, but I'm doing it against a pretty good fighter because that guy went on after that to become WBC super middleweight champion of the world.
Who was your toughest opponent? Was it Tarver?
No, my toughest opponent probably was James Toney. And I made it look easy, but he was the toughest because he was the hardest to hit. He had the most punching power, and he was like the slickest guy. He knew how to box. He knew how to fight. People like Tarver just caught me at the right time when boxing was not really the forefront of my mind. I wasn't as hungry as I was when I fought people like James Toney. Had I fought Tarver one at a time when I was hungry like I was when I fought James Toney, Tarver would not have survived with me. I was too fast, too quick, too smart, and was too active. By the time I got there, I had already accomplished my main goal, which was to become heavyweight champion of the world. So at that time, I really didn't have, and I had already accomplished of recapturing the light heavyweight title. So the second time I fought him, there was nothing really in the stakes for me. I wanted to fight just because I was a fighter and I didn't duck and dodge nothing, which I still do that to this day, prove my point. I don't duck and dodge nothing. But it wasn't the me that it was a motivated me, you know?
Yeah. The James Toney's a guy who's another gifted athlete, but gifted in boxing. I guess he's like a boxing gifted athlete.
Exactly.
Which is interesting because I couldn't see him dominating on the basketball court.
Actually,
but
pretty good. Actually, he was a very good football player, too, though.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was a very good football player, good, very good high school football player. They just knew that his personality probably wouldn't survive college life. That's why he went here to start boxing.
I've gotten a few doses of Lights Out Tony's personality. And he was a guy who was just so smooth and rolled and used his shoulders to block punches, and he didn't burn a lot of calories. He didn't have his hands all up and stiffed and clenched. He's just the smoothest, hardest guy to hit out there. Went from, I don't know, super middleweight to heavyweight, too. Yep. I mean, he went through a few weight divisions. Mm-hmm. But unlike you, you stayed in shape. He ended up just packing on a couple pounds, I do believe. Again, the fight is Ward versus Kovalev 2. That is tomorrow night. That is Saturday, June 17th. Only available on HBO pay-per-view. The website, insidehboboxing.com/WardKovalev2. You're going to be there, Roy. Do you have predictions?
No, I don't have a prediction. I think it's going to be a very good fight. I think Kovalev will look to try to catch Ward again early with a solid punch and hoping they can have more damage, that can do more damage than he did when he caught him with the partial punch last time. I'm thinking that Ward is going to go out there and hope that Kovalev's anger and rage to revenge himself will lead to him opening up and being more predictive. So that gives Ward an opportunity to capitalize on the mistakes he makes. So it'll be a good fight. I think both guys have equal chances and equal opportunities to win it, and we shall look and see what happens.
What do you think about Canelo and Triple G coming up?
Another very good fight. All depends on who comes and wants it the most, because I think Canelo probably is a little bit better better technician. I think Triple G is probably the stronger fighter. So both guys have their advantages. And as usual, whoever can take the best of his advantages will be the one who prevails and becomes the winner.
One last question for you. I know Floyd Mayweather's undefeated, but I still have you as ahead of him in the boxing rankings just because of what you've done. Do you give that some thought?
No, I give that some fact, because I went from junior middleweight to heavyweight championship of the world. I didn't duck and dodge nothing. I fought them all when I could fight them. Not in the after they primed, not when they got old, not when after they'd been knocked out. No, I fought them when it was time to fight them. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to deny who truly was the best. I mean, you go look at YouTube right now. You go pull up my highlights and anybody else's highlights, and who highlights is your kid going to want to watch again? Mine. Why? Because they're different. They're spectacular. They're something that you can't see nobody else do. So who does that tell you is the best fighter of all time? I mean, if you go look at everybody that you can pick up film on and put a kid in front of it and say, watch all these guys, and you ask that kid when he finishes, who you want to see again, they're going to tell you Roy Jones Jr. Why? Because Roy Jones Jr. did things that were never, ever, ever before seen in a boxing ring. The next guy they're going to tell you they want to see that did things like that was Muhammad Ali. So it's no question about who they want to see.
Roy?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I just I've always felt that way about Floyd too. I felt like he was a businessman, sort of half businessman, half fighter. And when it comes to like Canelo, he wouldn't have wanted to fight this version of Canelo. He fought like 22, 23 year old kid.
Exactly.
He fought the kid. He fought the on the way up version of Canelo, not the where he is peaking now Canelo.
Exactly. They're like right now, you're fighting a guy that never had a pro boxing match or amateur boxing match in his life. And you're making major money for it, so you're very smart. And that's very good, and I can't take that away from you. I mean, you're doing a very good thing. You're doing a very smart thing for what you do. But that doesn't make you pound for pound the best boxer ever lived. So, no, there's a difference. There's two separate things there.
Businessman,
you pound for pound the best businessman I've ever seen.
He's a pound for pound best businessman, and Roy Jones, I say pound for pound best fighter. Thank you, Roy.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Roy Jones Jr., Ward Kovalev, too, man. And you can check it out on HBO. You can also watch the Facebook. That'll be me. How do we do that, Gary? I'll be going a half hour before the show, and then we'll be going in between rounds, too.
Sure. If you go to Adam Carolla, or Facebook.com/AdamCarolla, before the fight, Adam and the guys will be doing a little bit of pre-fight analysis, and then you can watch the show on your big screen, set up your mobile device or your computer on the couch, and in between rounds, while they're in their corners, Adam will be on Facebook Live giving you his thoughts.
And there you go. Roy Jones Jr. And again, you can check out our Facebook page. I'm going to be going tomorrow night, Saturday night, night of the fight. I'll be going a half hour before the fight and then checking in between rounds. And before we get to Dennis Prager at the Irvine, live at Irvine, I'll tell you about FlexWash, Home Depot, man. They got the Samsung FlexWash and Flex Dry. It's a washer dryer. It's 2-in-1. Well, it's 4-in-2, however you want to break it down. You can wash two loads and dry two loads at the same time in the same machine. It is awesome, man. Put the more, whites and the lighter colors, more durable stuff down below. And then up top, upper shelf, man, you go with the delicate fabrics and the colors. Flex Wash, it's a large capacity, lower washer for everyday stuff. And then the nice one for your more delicate stuff up top. They got the Flex Dry. It's a large tumble dry for everyday items. And then the flat dryer for the delicates up top. So both are Wi-Fi connected. You can set and start the machines remotely and receive alerts when your load is finished. Why not? Samsung FlexWash and FlexDry, available at Home Depot. Okay, so real quick, couple of shows, live shows. You can go to adamcarolla.com if you want to come out and see Reasonable Doubt. Our town hall, man, with me and Gergis. That's July 20th, coming up on a Thursday. We're going to Las Vegas, Caesar's Palace, Thursday, July 13th. Well, I'm going to be working a lot of Thursdays, man. Levity Live, another Thursday. That's July 6th. Going in reverse order. I'm going to be out there with David Koechner and Rainn Wilson. So you want to check all that out, just go to adamcarolla.com. We got merch. We got everything you need at adamcarolla.com. And without any further ado, let's enjoy the whole gang plus Dennis Prager up on stage at the Irvine Improv.
Live from the Irvine Improv, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest tonight, Dennis Prager. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and an all Twitter round of blah, blah, blah. And now, medical device salesman and Amherst graduate, Adam Carolla!
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Dennis Prager decided he needed to go to the bathroom just moments. He said he had to shake the dew off the lily, but he's doing a little booger sugar. Said he wanted to just take the edge off. I don't know. I'm not from the 70s. I don't know how that works. Gina Grad's over here,
hey,
everybody.
Good evening.
Bald Brian over here. I had a thought about weigh-ins that I never thought about prior to this. Prager will make his way out on stage, and then I'll include him in the conversation. Dennis Prager, everybody. The great Dennis Prager. We're working together on a little project called No Safe Spaces, and you can go to nosafespaces.com and look at the snippets of us up on stage, the dynamic, I think, or just watch us right now in real time. Okay. Prager's radio show, which is a jewel. It's 9 a.m. till noon on 870 The Answer out here, but it's, of course, syndicated. And I think you can subscribe to Pragertopia, which I do. Just a ton of wisdom. He's a wisdom mill. This man over here, he literally is a conveyor belt of wisdom. It all ends up in a dumpster and then gets brought to a landfill and is picked at by seagulls. But the wisdom is still on the belt.
Even the seagulls are affected.
No, some of the brightest seagulls with, ironically, the most horse sense a seagull's ever had.
I don't know if you were you backstage for this? This is 100% true. There was a 13-year-old girl backstage who not only is a huge PragerU fan, has favorite episodes, and was listing them for Dennis.
Yes.
She's wildly popular, I'm sure.
Right, right. She has to run serpentine between classes to avoid the fruit and Danish that are being thrown at her by the other classmates. Yes, Dennis Prager, I'm sorry.
It's all right. Hi, everybody. Great to be with you. Really is, and it's... we are... You know, you should know this. If somebody had to predict who would end up going around the country together doing programs, and Adam was on a list of 10,000, and I was on another list of 10,000, we would be the 10,000th pairing. Is that fair to say?
Not since Ann Coulter started dating Jimmy J.J. Walker. Has there been a more bizarre pairing, second only to Ann Coulter and Jimmy Dynamite J.J. Walker?
He's got you there, Dennis.
It's
got
true.
You there,
yeah. I think they are.
Give the devil his due. He's got you there.
They are seeing each other. So we're number two.
Wait,
no
what?
One will ever
no,
beat them.
No, you're just saying stuff. I'm Googling this.
This is unbelievable.
Wait,
Jimmy J.J. Walker's alive?
Well, here's... Here's why I know it's true, because every time they bring it up to Ann Coulter, she goes, oh, no, we're just really close friends.
Oh, my God.
Look it up. Look up Ann Coulter and Jimmy J.J. Walker. Anyway, Yes,
it proves what it proves. In a moment of non-levity, what it proves. Just a moment.
The first of many from Dennis Prager, everybody. So buckle up for a long night of non-levity. For how many fans of non-levity do we have out there? Show your hand. All right. We got a lot of non-levity fans out there.
Thank you for bailing me out, okay? Thank you. Now I forgot my non-levity point. Oh, yes. The proof, it proves a basic thesis of mine that while personality and all of that is important and everything, especially in a relationship of, a man and a woman, let's say, nevertheless, values is the primary foundation, and that we share. And that's why it's not at all odd once you get to know us. Is that fair to say?
I think that we make way too much about the sort of heritage and the religion and the sex and the sexual proclivities and the gay, straight, and the bi and all that. It's much more the values. It should be values top three, and then we can start working in what part of Palermo or Sicily your family's from or whatever you may be. That should be a distant fifth or sixth. I mean, for me, not even really a factor, just always sort of a side note. Oh, you're Italian? My wife's Italian. Moving on to the values discussion now. The idea that it's number one all the time is kind of insane. And yes.
What we're articulating has been the American uniqueness. Americans, you see, before the left made people think that race is important, that ethnicity is important, it wasn't. Now, obviously, it was to racists. So now the racism has moved over from the regular racist to the leftist racist. There is no difference. Both say skin color is determinative. We embody the American ideal. It doesn't matter at all.
Right. Exactly. Wow. Well, he's 100% true. Unless you're Puerto Rican, of course, then we can't hang. But other than the Puerto Ricans, and that's what, way less than 4%, thank God, and God willing, none in the room, then we got no problem, and it's all about values. Dennis told me privately that many, many times. He rarely shares it on stage. As a matter of fact, I didn't even really think about it until he put back a few and really beat it into my brain. But other than the Puerto Ricans, hey, man, we're all just God's children, and let's join hands. So thanks, Dennis. And again, this is the kind of wisdom you get from this guy on and off stage.
Thank you. By the way, even that, you see, this if there was somebody from the left here, they would speak about how his kidding around about Puerto Ricans was racist and insensitive, and they would have had a safe space for Puerto Ricans and for people who feel that they're Puerto Rican, because that's
it's called Puerto Park.
They identify.
Identify as a Puerto Rican.
I'm sorry.
You may just identify as Puerto Rican.
That's right. No, just identify. That was my point.
Yeah.
That's the sickness. There is. I think ethnic humor is a riot. I am the first to tell a Jewish joke. Now, I am well aware there are things you cannot joke about. You cannot joke about hanging nooses with regard to blacks. That there's nothing that could possibly be funny. There can't possibly be a Holocaust joke that's funny. But beyond that, I'm going to tell you a Jewish joke. Ready?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you one.
Hold on. So normally you charge for these things. Or
lot,
at least you're ill.
No, I do.
They don't give away jokes.
If you don't like this joke, I will be shocked. All right? So here it goes.
Hold on. Do we find anything about J.J. Walker and Ann Coulter?
Yes. We all owe you a huge apology because I am seeing on at least four different news sources right here, Ann Coulter allegedly dating Jimmy Walker.
There you go.
Is that recent?
Very easy to find. This is from last month.
Oh.
So, Adam, you are ahead of the curve.
Yep. I got
all
it
right,
almost
so,
as much.
So here it goes, folks.
Pictures
ready?
Or it didn't happen.
So a Protestant minister goes for a haircut, gets his hair cut, gets...
Oh, hold on. There they are.
Oh.
It's like Brigitte Nielsen in Flavor Flav.
I was wondering why you were laughing in advance.
Is this some sort of 12 Years a Slave cosplay?
Oh, how dare you. All right. Let Mr. Prager finish his Jewish joke.
We can't even tell a nice Jewish joke.
Protestant minister goes for a haircut, gets his hair cut, gets ready to pay, and the barber says, "No, sir, pastor, you are a man of the cloth. No need to pay." The pastor thanks him profusely, comes back the next week with a beautiful little Bible, a leatherette Bible. Next week, a Catholic priest comes in for a haircut, gets ready to pay. The barber says, "Father, you're a man of the cloth, no need to pay." The priest thanks him profusely, comes back the next week with a beautiful little crucifix. Next week, a rabbi comes in, gets his hair cut, gets ready to pay. The barber says, "Rabbi, you're a man of the cloth, no need to pay." The rabbi thanks him profusely, comes back the next week with another rabbi.
That's good.
I love
What's
it.
Wrong there
with
you
that?
Go.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing is wrong with that. All right. We have...
Safe Spaces is the documentary.
That's right. I had a thought, but I don't know. I've never really quite hashed it out, but there's a big prize fight this Saturday. Andre Ward's going against Kovalev. And
Of course, you like hockey. I do.
And then you don't like sports other than hockey.
No. I watch the playoffs in baseball, but I admit that football and basketball don't intrigue me. And it's just a matter of taste. There's no right or wrong. But hockey, I will admit this. I don't see how you can't find it exciting.
I agree.
It's perpetually exciting. It doesn't stop.
MMA, boxing, combat sports.
I always found it hard to enjoy guys beating each other up. I admit it.
Adam finds it very erotic.
I do.
That I understand. But do you find it erotic?
Well, I was going to say what has become almost as big as the fight is the weigh-in.
Uh-huh.
And the weigh-in is the guy in his underpants, and I don't mean boxer briefs. I mean thong back, full Brazilian style, you know, bedazzled banana hammock.
Yeah.
And these guys have to cut weight. And when they cut weight, they're literally cutting weight up until the moment of the weigh-in. They are in plastic bags, you know, doing jumping jacks in the back, just trying to cut weight, trying to sweat it off. And then they step on to the scale, and oftentimes, if they're not making it, even the wisp of gauze that they have tied around their nutsack that they call underpants is too much weight, and they take it off, and the guys hold the towel out in front of them.
Wow.
And you guys want to know the move, by the way, a wrestler told me, and it made perfect sense. The guys who hold the towel hold it taut. You put your hands on the towel as if to help sturdy it and sort of push down a little because you're really just trying to get 6 or 7 ounces off of you. And if you are a 185-pound guy and you put your hand on a towel and you sort of push on it a little bit, you'll get a little lift. But either way, I think they should just invent something called a 9-pound sweatsuit. And they'll just issue it to everybody, and we'll just back out 9 pounds so I don't have to see the guy's balls. Then what happens is the guy starts flexing up there, and then at a certain point, the other guy in his underpants approaches him, walking with purpose, and then they start leaning into each other, both covered in sweat and Vaseline because they were trying to work off the weight in the back, both in the underpants, now becoming tumescent, and the crowd is going insane.
Yeah.
I just feel like, let's do a private weigh-in.
Don't they get them to pose, like really close to each other,
they go forehead to forehead, and then at some point, inevitably, when the one guy butts the other guy with his forehead, the other guy attempts to throw a punch but misses wildly, and the crowd goes insane. Except
he's too weak from all the weight loss.
13 hours from now, they'll be trying to kill each other inside an octagon. We don't need to see the one wisp where the guy takes a swipe where he's in his underpants.
Yeah, well, you're strong and fed.
Yes, let's do away with this. But in the combat sport thought, the guy I was talking to, Nate Adams, who's a director and did the 24-Hour War. He did Road Hard with me. He did Winning the Racing Life, Paul Newman. He wrestled in college and in high school and was telling me about this towel thing. And Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather have agreed to fight in a boxing match, each getting $100 million each or something insane. And everyone sort of thinks, well, the mixed martial arts fans want to see mixed martial arts, but McGregor would destroy Floyd Mayweather if they went under those rules. On the other hand, if it's just pure boxing and just hands, everyone seems to think it's not going to be that competitive because Mayweather is such a great tactician, 49-0. He'll just be 50-0. Nate Adams had this idea today, which I thought was great. Normally, I only think my ideas were great. But in this particular case, I thought someone else's idea was great, which probably meant I fell asleep and he stole one of my ideas.
Yeah.
He said the way they should do it to make it exciting is they should make the first 11 rounds boxing, but first 10 rounds. But if it gets to the 11th, it's MMA.
Everything goes.
That's fantastic.
Now
Floyd can't dance.
Instead of Kicking, Floyd pushing, on yep. his bicycle, yep. avoiding
he's going for the
McGregor
kill.
The whole time, it's going to be McGregor trying to avoid Floyd, who's coming at him because he has to dispatch him before that end of the 10th round, because the second it goes to MMA,
yeah, that's a great Floyd's idea. Not going to.
So you automatically have Floyd having to hunt down McGregor.
Yeah. He can't dance.
I love that idea almost as much as if it was one of mine.
Speaking of your ideas and speaking of dancing, I don't know a lot about the fight game, so you tell me why this is a stupid idea. But much like Christy Yamaguchi, like people saying, oh, she's not going to win a dancing competition, she's a skater. And you're like, the skills should probably translate.
She beat me on Dancing with the Stars. I mean, she beat me. Well, I let her. She beat me and then 11 other people and then won the thing.
You're one of
thing.
Her many but, victims,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah, she beat. She edged me out by 9 people.
So you ascertained quite quickly and accurately that skill should translate because it's not that different and she's a great athlete.
Oh, wait.
Would Conor McGregor's skills not translate? He's not being asked to play baseball. He's being asked to fight a little differently.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know.
His skills will translate into the boxing ring. It's that Floyd Mayweather is a phenom. He's unbeaten and the Oscar De La Hoyas of the world can't lay a glove on him.
Okay.
That's
okay.
why. It's
okay.
not that it wouldn't in an amateur fight or even another guy who was 13-7 or
Mayweather's
something like
so
that.
Good.
That's
okay.
what. But I have a racially based joke for you, Dennis.
Okay.
That I told on in a limousine on the way to Oprah's show on Dancing with the Stars. They got all the contestants of Dancing with the Stars season whatever I was on. They put us in a limousine, and they were driving us in Chicago to go be guests on Oprah Winfrey's show. And Oprah was going to unveil the latest cast of Dancing with the Stars. And for me, it was weird because I'd been making jokes at Oprah's expense my entire adult life. But now I felt sort of giddy to be on the show. And so we were driving there. We're in a limousine. They had, eight stars in one limousine and 8 stars in the other. And I was in the one with Penn Jillette, who at the time was 6'8", 400 pounds, and still sat like he didn't want his testicles to meet. Like he literally, he's already taking up 3/4 of the limo.
He's man spreading.
And his knees could not get wider apart. But anyway, isn't it funny when guys like that are taking up this much airspace and then on top of it they have to have a huge ponytail? Like all you do is take up space, you should shave your head and wear a unitard. But the point is, we're driving to Oprah, and we were looking around, and everyone was sizing everyone up and said, who's going to win this thing? And I sort of looked around, and Christy Yamaguchi, Olympic gold medalist, ice skater, blah, blah, blah. I just said, well, Christy Yamaguchi's going to win this thing. And everyone said, how do you know? How do you know? And I said, well, she's an Olympic gold medalist. She's an athlete, Olympic athlete, but what she does directly transfers to this. She does. And they're like, somebody said, yeah, but she does it on ice. I said, so if some guy was a champion juggler and he stood on a block of ice, would you go, yeah, but let's see what he does on carpet? I think you would assume he could probably pull it off on carpet as well, possibly more easily.
More skilled.
So I said, oh, come on, Yamaguchi's going to win. She would go in and do 3 hours of dance rehearsal with the partner and stuff like that before hitting the eyes. And they all sort of agreed. And then I said, but we got one chance here and one chance only. And everyone sort of leaned in and I said, Christy Yamaguchi is 100% Japanese and those people are super lazy. And everyone looked at me sort of stunned for a second, like, what? And then they all erupted with laughter. And then she went on to destroy everybody.
Proving her points. It was a bittersweet being correct for you.
Yes. Yeah. She was just putting in 14 hours a day of rehearsal. And just she took it exactly. That's the other thing I've learned with any celebrity, anything, which is... these celebrities, these athletes, these whomevers, they're the most competitive people on the planet. You think, oh, they're soft, they're lazy, the Hollywood types, whatever it is. I guarantee you, if you went go-karting with Tom Cruise, he'd be attempting to run you into the tire barrier and do any... They're the most competitive people in the world because think what they've had to do. They've had to get past hundreds of thousands of people that wanted to do the exact same thing. You know, you're the same when you do what, like, the... celebrity yarmulke toss or whatever. I don't know what you're invited to. I imagine you experience the
bagel stacking.
Same thing.
Here, I'll show you.
You got a yarmulke.
Yeah,
he's a prop comic, too.
Not only do I have one, but there is such a thing as a yarmulke toss. He thought it was a joke. Are you ready? You will be very impressed.
Hold on, that's a double D. That's a lot of scalp.
That might be my yarmulke.
It's a big cup yarmulke.
Are you ready?
Whoa!
Oh!
Wow. Whoever catches it doesn't have to pay for drinks.
That'll be the great. First yarmulke toss in improv history.
Now, give me some, I would say yarmulke, but it's yarmulke, right?
Both are right. Yarmulke,
all right, so give me
yarmulke.
Some yarmulke do's and don'ts.
Okay, so...
Because don't toss it in the crowd.
I will give you one.
I know my audience. I keep it hot and fast. Yarmulkes, do's and don'ts. Because, like, you know, American flag, you got to fold it a certain way. Yeah. Can't touch the ground, you know.
All right, so here's one. This is true. I went to Jewish religious schools till I was 18. Very intense. The whole half of the first day was in Hebrew, and the second half was in English. So it was very intense education, and it was all Orthodox. And the rabbi said to us in about the eighth grade, he looks at us and he says, boys, you should not go ever to a dirty movie. That's the way they were called in those days. But if you do, take your yarmulke off.
It's good advice.
There's a do and don't on yarmulke for you. I thought it was great advice, actually. I took it off right away.
All right. That's funny. We have, I think, some questions from the audience out there. Brian is going to load those up.
First one is from Carol, I'm going to say Medway. Carol Medway of Woodland Hills. Are you here, Carol?
Where's Carol?
Oh,
there she is.
I actually don't know if we have a mic or not.
Thank you for coming out. You came out from Woodland Hills, huh?
That's a schlep.
I think we do have a microphone.
Yep.
So it's about a two-hour haul. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for coming out. Hey, can we please do some sort of educational program to stop everybody from rubbernecking? Mike and I were driving here. Our lane really came to a stop, and it was simply because they were loading a dinged-up Prius onto a flatbed on the shoulder. Now, look. If Dale Earnhardt Jr. goes rolling across the infield in a ball of flames with parts flying every direction, by all means, have a gaze. But if the notion of seeing a 2007 Prius with part of the bumper missing being loaded onto a flatbed is as much excitement as you can squeeze into a Thursday night, please drive off a goddamn cliff. What is this? What is the novelty of, oh, boy, look at that car with high mileage on it, and the owner seems to be perfectly fine.
In the spirit of clicking her ticket, the billboards can say, no one dead, stare straight ahead.
Right, right. stupid.
It's good. It's real good.
Yeah. Yeah, look. You see the Padres giving the last rites and the guys pulling the blanket. By the way, can we get blankets that fit to pull over corpses? It's like either I got to see the guy's head or the guy's shoes. Could you not make a piece of cloth that's 7 foot? They all have to be 5'9" and a half. Like, oh, they pull it over his head. Now I got to look at dead guy's shoes. Make it an 8-footer. Let's play it safe. Yeah. Maybe you roll it up. Yes.
He sees the same shoes you're wearing, and all of a sudden you have a vision of your own mortality.
Or are they the same size, and he doesn't need them?
My gong is pulled off the road.
I'm just saying, this was a non-event. This was a barely dented Prius being loaded onto a flatbed, and we all had to come to a stop. And you know why we had to come to a stop? Not because anyone was worried about somebody being injured. You could see the car was fine. Not because there was some potential and imminent danger to me. Like, hey, that car's leaking fuel, and the tow truck driver's smoking, and he just flicked his butt in slow motion. Whenever you see the butt go in slow motion, Dennis, that means there's going to be an explosion. It has to go in slow motion. Only tow truck drivers can flip it in slow motion. No, none of it. It's all schadenfreude. It's all, oh, boy.
Look at that poor
You know that guy's wife's going to be pissed. That ruined his whole weekend. His whole weekend is ruined. Ruined. Oh, man. What's he got to do now? Well, he don't have a car for tomorrow. I'll tell you that. I don't know how late Alamo's open, but it ain't 24-7. I'll tell you that, right? Ain't no Denny's. Hey, he's got a call into work. Probably going to get docked. Got to tell the wife. I bet it's a huge deductible. Probably $2,500 deductible if it's a penny. And then we all feel better about our miserable lot in life.
He's got to check the bus schedule for tomorrow.
I don't know if it's schadenfreude. It's interesting. I consider that to be one of the inexplicables of life. Why people rubberneck a boring event is one of the unanswerable questions.
How come he gets to shit on your points?
I'm sorry?
How
come you
get to... I get in trouble, Dennis, when I do this, but you do it, and you know, he's the guest.
Yeah.
Oh, if I do what?
Crap on my points.
Oh, I see.
But he only craps on my points once a year.
I only do it once a year. But, he hit the tail on...
Hit
the nose on the tail.
That's perfect.
Head of the tail on the nose. But he hit it right. Here is another... Maybe you have an answer.
I'm open to any explanation here.
Hold on.
I think it's Sean.
All right. Since you have a theory on that, and I don't know the answer, okay? Maybe you will have an answer to this one. And I'm dead serious. My wife, who is here, knows that this is one of the great annoyances of my life. And I'm glad I can't do anything about it physically because I might be arrested. Why do people travel slower in the diamond lane than everyone else in the other four lanes?
They should be killed.
No, seriously, do you have a theory? Do you have a theory on that? I don't. I do not have a theory. I do not understand it. It is among the most unaware acts a human can engage in.
Yes. Okay.
Adam, I have a theory on the rubberneckers.
Go ahead.
I think that it's not so much the banged up 2006 Prius as I want to know what everybody else ahead of me has been looking at. I've been slow for the last 20 miles.
Yeah, there's an element. If I had to wait so long for this non-event, then everyone behind me is going to have to wait for this non-event. I think it's a mixture of all the above. As far as Dennis's question... I will say this, and this is, by the way, why we never get to any questions, because this poor person just, all they did was say in passing, I drove here from Woodland Hills, and they didn't even say that.
We're off.
We're done. I didn't even know what your question was.
You can sit down now. Give us the mic back.
Here's what it is. First off, it's like a self-selecting group. It's a group of people that travel with other people. That is not the rambling man. That is not the lone wolf in the Corvette. That's not me running late to work. So the first thing you have to have is a group of people with you, which is not the mode I'm in when I'm traveling. I'm late, I got to get to work, I got to get to the gig, I got to get to the book signing. So it's a little self-selecting. But the other and more overriding point is most of the time you'll find that people in that lane say, I was selected,
by the government to go into this lane. And the government also has selected a speed for me to go, and I will dutifully obey that because I am amongst a privileged elite, like the Navy SEAL team of lanes.
A lot of spire. There's a big washout rate.
Right. So it is a, I'm here, and then the passive-aggressive part begins, which is this. The thing is posted at 55 miles an hour. These guys go somewhere between 53 and a half and 55 and a quarter. Now, God and the government have selected me to be in this. I'm part of an elite fraternity of losers who travel with a bunch of people. And you flashing your high beams will have no effect on me because I'm on a mission from God.
It may have the opposite effect. It may drop me down a mile per hour or two.
Right.
I'll teach you
because
to do that.
Because it's not like they go 45. They just will not go faster. And they believe that they are beating you on some sort of moral technicality, which is, hey, not only am I qualified to go in this lane because my husband had his third DUI and can no longer drive. And because of the supervised visitation, there's a fourth person in the car with our child. So not only do I beat you, morally superior to you, but I don't have to go any faster than that posted sign over there says I have to. And they love that. Because if somebody's just sort of crawling down the street and they're looking for an address and you give them a toot on the horn or the high beams, they're sort of obliged to pull over.
Yeah.
This is that because the speed limit, of course, should be raised to 75 or 80 miles an hour because of the technology. The cars are so much safer. They're so much smoother. There's so much more safety and so much technology. The speed limit is literally that of a car from the 1960s. And I'll just use the same logic on them as they would use, which is if you had a speed limit of 55 in 1935, it would be too fast. And the answer is why? They didn't have the technology. It wouldn't be safe. But now that we have the technology, it should be brought up. It's like if you fly in a single-engine Cessna, you go 85 miles an hour. That's a pretty good clip. Or you could just fly Southwest 737 and go 521 miles an hour, and who cares? It always is weird still when you're going 500-plus miles an hour and you see a woman walking in heels and she's doing it casually and walking sideways. I was on a Southwest flight the other day. I shouldn't probably take peyote before I get on these flights, but I'm always sort of still the caveman and the reptilian brain in me is still marvels at the fact that we're traveling at 500 miles an hour and there's somebody wearing pumps and they're walking. A good-looking fellow wearing pumps, and he's walking, and Caitlin is coming by, and they're just standing there casually talking and opening peanuts.
What was the question?
I have no idea. Thank you.
Next question's from...
Oh. Hey!
Sorry, the question.
Hi. Hi, wonderful. Thank you for everything you do. How did you guys get together?
We...
On a blind date.
We got the... Now, of course I knew Dennis, and of course Dennis didn't know who I was because I was alive and under the age of 90. So... And had never composed a piece of music in my life. So he had no idea who I was, but I was a big fan of his from listening to Religion on the Line and then his daily radio show. What year did you start your daily radio show?
Religion on the Line. Oh, daily, absolutely daily, was, I know exactly the year, 92 or 93. So I don't know exactly the year.
I know exactly 90, the year.
92 or 93. Yeah.
You should be curator at kind of a museum.
This is a great example of something. I'm not sure, but it is a great example. Yeah.
You'd love it.
So I listened to Religion on the Line, which was what, Sunday nights?
Sunday nights from 82 to 92.
It was always fun. I had no dog in the fight whatsoever,
right.
But I just enjoyed ideas that weren't mine. It drives me nuts when sort of people... accuse me or really anyone else of going, oh, you just turn on to Fox News and they spoon feed you your own ideas like back at you, whatever. Oh, I would listen to Religion on the Line. I would listen to the Bible Answer Man. That was another one. Listen, I just wanted to hear what people had to say about their religion. And it didn't mean, see, I guess in this is sort of the impetus behind No Safe Spaces. It doesn't mean you agree with everything you hear just because you hear it. This prerequisite that I must agree with it, and I'll just go ahead and I'll vet it before, like a presidential speech, and then you may deliver it to me. It's an insane way to absorb information. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite of absorbing information. It's simply recycling the same information you already had. Why not just hear everyone's ideas in their totality and then pick out bits and pieces or the lion's share of what their ideas are and run with them? Why?
Very controversial statement.
Yeah, I know, but when did that... It's interesting, and I notice it in my kids and occasionally my wife, which is, when did somebody imparting information to you become some sort of shaming ordeal? You know, this thing where it's like you go, hey, here's how you do this. And they go, hey, here's how I do it. And they're like, just do it this way. It doesn't... I think the first thing we should all do is not attach our ego to our ideas. It's not your identity. It doesn't make you a bad person or a dumb person. You have only been on this planet for so long. You only have so many brain cells to rub together. You're only going to think about so much stuff. Be open all the time to other ideas. Why would you not want to be that way? It seems like almost a literal death when you decide to not take in anybody else's ideas. And so I listened to Dennis Prager and all the crazy nut job religious fanatics he had on his show. The Moyle is having at it with the Buddha. I was always... And I drove my pickup truck as an atheist carpenter, and I enjoyed it. And I could remember driving home, working at Always Better Closets in Burbank, California, in the late 80s, and I'd get in my truck, and I'd turn on the Bible Answer Man. And he'd be like, well, it says right here in Leviticus that now, you can discipline your dog,
right,
but it
so
says
now
here,
you know. Really, now, this is a great insight, actually. This is part of the reason we have such synchronicity. We really are partners. I had that same nature as a kid. I grew up as an Orthodox Jew, and the family would be in the car, and my father, you know, the radios where you turn a dial, remember that, obviously. And so you'd pass, and so on. But he would listen for 3 seconds to find out what he didn't want to hear. And whenever he came upon some Christian broadcast, I'd go, Dad, hold it. And he'd go, why? And I just remember thinking, because I would like to know what the other 98% of the country thinks.
It's a help.
Yes, it does. It helps. Yes, exactly.
And old man Prager shook his head. I bet kids never getting laid.
Oh, he knew it. So that's how I knew Dennis. Of course, he didn't know me, but I think it was Sean, your engineer, that put us together.
Sean and RJ, I think both of them.
Oh, RJ. Yeah, more RJ.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, no, but it's really the first time I met him. I did do penance for not having known him earlier. I just want to say that because he's a joy. And he, see, with all the humor, there's wisdom there, and I love wisdom. That's the reason you cared about listening to this stuff. He's an atheist who listened every week, I didn't know this, to a religion show. But that makes perfect sense to me. Why wouldn't you? Just as I, this Jewish kid, would want to hear every Christian show I could.
We had a group of atheists who would listen, and then we would break off into discussion groups. But since there was only two of us, me and the other guy would just take one step to the left, and that would be our discussion group. We technically did break off into a discussion group, but it was just sort of a wide step to the left.
He is the most lovable atheist I know. There's a guy. This is. I could not make this up. I did mention this once on the air. So I work out, believe it or not, three times a week, and at a fancy gym, Equinox, and while changing one day, I sneezed, and all of a sudden I hear a guy goes, "Science." So I said to the guy, "I'm sorry, what did you say?" I said, "Science." I said, "You say science when after a person sneezes?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm an atheist."
Oh.
I'm stealing that.
Bless you was a bridge too far.
Yeah.
How about the very non-controversial Gesundheit?
Yeah.
Oh.
But that could be praise God.
That's right.
German.
I don't know.
I don't know. Gary, you got to look up the origins of Gesundheit.
I think it means good health, right?
Yeah,
good
health, health to you. It means health, yeah.
Makes sense. I take that. By the way, the Gesundheit is gone the way of the dodo. I don't think my kids are going to be saying that. Right.
What do your kids say? I'm curious. If somebody sneezes, do they say anything?
Out Please of the way, booger man. You're blocking the set.
Yeah, exactly.
Most of that. It's not a lot of bless you
okay.
any of that. If I sneeze in front of them, I just tell them it's because I'm allergic to them, so they need to back off. I don't know what they say. I don't think they say anything. Do you have the Gesundheit back there, Jeannie?
Yeah, it's made up of the word Gesund, which means healthy, and the suffix Heit, which means hood, so it means healthy hood.
Okay, good.
That old chestnut.
Yeah, like childhood or something. Yeah. I thought I was being interviewed on the way in. And we're talking about no safe spaces, and we're talking about the pink pussy hats that everyone is donning now. And
speaking of which, did Dennis ever get his yarmulke back?
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's using it as a coaster. She has a giant margarita
there. Adam will sign it.
That is bad juju. Pardon the pun.
Literally.
You do not use Dennis's yarmulke as a coaster, sweetheart. Sorry, Dennis.
Sorry. Pink pussy hats.
Must be one of my fans. He said, so we're talking about all the pink pussy hats. And I said, very sad that we're living in a time when the thinking cap has been replaced by the pussy hat. Because we used to say, put on your thinking cap now. Come on, put that thing. I have not heard that one in a million years. Let me put my pussy hat on and go to my safe space and mull it over.
I have a question. Seriously, if anyone knows the answer, you know, let me know in some way. Send me an email or tell me here. But this is totally serious, and I would like you to venture either a humorous or serious response.
It's not like me to weigh in, but I'll see if I can come out of my shell. Go ahead.
The women who took their daughters to that march, what did they say the pussy hat represented? I'm very curious.
Oh.
I'm serious. What? Nobody has ever told me that. You take your 9-year-old daughter to the march. Hey, mommy, why is all these women wearing a pussy hat? What did they say?
Somebody yelled it.
What?
They're wearing
Get
a,
that drop,
a powerful
Ryan.
That's what they're
vagina.
Telling their 9-year-old daughter, that they're powerful vaginas? Okay.
All right. My feeling is...
Now you know why the country is in bad shape.
I'm not going to sign off on the powerful vagina until they get vacuum power. And then I'm in. Wet, dry.
The shop vag?
Shop vac. Yeah.
Thank
Honey,
you.
Natalia spilled some cereal. Could you bring it on by? Oh, okay, yeah. Well, oh, the hose is in the garage? Yeah. Oh, just squat. I think you got enough power down there.
We cut to later that night in the bedroom. I called this one the Roomba, big boy.
All right.
This is why some people at Salem Radio were a little worried when I had Adam sit in for me for 3 hours. Salem Radio is run by wonderful, blessed evangelical Christians. And in the map of opposites is evangelical Christian Adam Carolla.
I talked to the living martyr, Alan, the producer, moments before I went on the air. And he gave me a list of things not to talk about, which only plants the seed.
Yes. Yeah.
People never people never really understand the way the human mind works. Yeah. No vagina vacuum discussion. Yeah. Oh, now I'm thinking about it.
That's all I can think about.
Do I say it or do I not say it?
And I'm not going off a prompter. I kept it clean for you, though.
You did. You I got a ton of positive, wildly enthusiastic email about your sitting in for me.
Oh, good. Well, now you know you're replaceable. No, it's good. It keeps you on your game. It keeps you hungry. It keeps
That's
you on
right.
your toes.
No, it's humbling.
Yeah, it should
it's
be humbling.
Important.
Yeah. All right. One more question,
Very
shall
good.
We? Oh, no. You know what? Let's do... Should we do our blah, blah, blah?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. You have the sound effects? Sorry about that.
It's time for Blah, Blah, Blog, the game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
All right, so this is a Twitter edition, and all of these tweets have to do with the congressional grilling of Jeff Sessions. Here we go. The congressional session with Sessions reminded me of an eel slithering his way through murky waters without making a ripple or leaving a wake. Is it Carl Reiner, Rob Reiner, or Norman Lear?
Ooh.
Yeah, I didn't watch the whole Sessions thing. He seemed like who he was, sort of saying, I don't know what this is about. But it didn't feel like the Riddler was up there. Or, worse yet, the spot maker from Calgon commercial circa 1972. Sorry, Google that.
Timely reference.
Laugh. Yes.
Although I've never heard the word improper so many times, and in such a flowery way. That would be improper.
That would be improper, man.
A lot of them.
I'll have another mint julep. All right. Dennis, thoughts.
Yeah.
Carl Reiner, Rob Reiner.
All right. I've never played this game, so let me
understand.
Who
wrote this tweet?
Who wrote that tweet? Oh, afterwards?
Yes.
Okay. Carl Reiner, Rob Reiner, or?
Norman Lear.
Or Norman Lear. It's impossible to know because they all hate Sessions.
That's why we're playing the game.
Oh.
Yeah. If it was...
Yeah, but if there's no distinguishing characteristic...
If it was Rob Reiner, Ted Nugent, or the ghost of Chuck Heston...
Yes.
Then it'd be
then
a very...
We
wouldn't have to play the game.
Exactly.
That's so, why we play the game.
So it's not a game. It's just a toss-up.
Yeah, just pick one.
All right, Rob Reiner.
We're playing
you
a family.
You understand this is the basis for almost every game. There's no game show. Welcome back to Super Obvious Answer. I'm your host, Adam Carolla. We have our three dullards playing over here.
I don't buy this.
What weighs more, an anvil or a piece of pollen? 20 minutes. All right, locking into Super Obvious Answer.
I'd like to use my lifeline.
Go ahead, Chet.
I want to call my friend Dennis.
Call Dennis. See, that's why we play the game, you see?
That it's a game of luck, not skill. It's like a card game, then. No. They're all...
Oh, Dennis, he's calling in a lifeline.
Hey, Dennis, it's your friend Brian. Boy, I'm in a real pickle.
Hey, let me chime in. I'm the host of Super Obvious Answer. I just posed the question, what weighs more, an anvil or a speck of pollen?
Don't answer right away, Dennis. Think about it.
I totally love being ribbed. It is an invalid rib.
it's insane.
Any one of these three guys, it could have been. All right? It's just,
right.
It's pure luck which one you do. It is a game of luck, not skill. End of issue.
You heard the man, Chip. I'm going to go with C, invalid rib, for the answer.
Dennis should go into every casino. Take those dice, put them in the parking lot, and burn them. Let's turn them into plowshares. This
right,
is
what's
pure
the right,
luck.
What's the right answer?
He walks
answer?
Up to a roulette wheel. Don't bother picking a number. How's anyone to know?
All right. What is the right answer?
Hold on. We're going to do another 20 minutes on you. Right. And then, no. Obviously, I don't know the right answer.
Wait, does
going
anybody?
Nobody but the three-pack-a-day man with the microphone over the horizon knows. So, I'm telling you that there's a method to this madness. So sometimes you can hear the verbiage that's used. Sometimes someone will make a joke or use a certain
reference
or something like that. I'm going to say, and then you also have to get into the head of Mike Lynch, the guy who comes up with this stuff. And that's obviously going to be impossible to do. I'm going to say Rob. Well, you did Rob Reiner or Carl? Why the hell is Carl on there? And then why the two Reiners on there? Is that trying to screw us up? And then should that make me go Norman Lear? Lear.
Well, since there's three guesses and four of us, I'm going to piggyback with Dennis and say Rob.
Carl Reiner.
The blog belongs to Carl Reiner.
No! What? See, he knew.
It's really a game for super geniuses.
On what basis? I would like to know.
It was so obvious.
But wait a second.
Oh, okay.
Technically.
All right.
But Dennis, how about, I mean, you're talking about the rubber necking things is sort of innate. Like, it's just in us. Don't we also have an incredible response to luck? Like, when something is just pure luck. Like, when you see those shows where the guy just spins that wheel and it lands on the dollar or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the pachinko thing when it's bouncing down. In a weird way, we're in a weird sort of subhuman way, we're almost more attracted to the lucky person than we are to the skillful person, right? Not Brian. No one was attracted to him.
That's right.
But you know what I'm, saying.
I know what you're saying.
All right, let's keep it going.
That was probably the only one Dennis had a fair shot at guessing, since two of those people were over 90.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a rough road.
Thank you. Go ahead, Dawson.
This time, the Dems have awakened a sleeping giant. I can't wait for AG Sessions to drop the mask and fry these pigs. Is it Ted Nugent?
Whoa!
James Woods?
Oh.
Or Bill O'Reilly?
Wow. Now, it had the cooking, bacon.
The fry these pigs is very on the nose.
Sleeping giant, very aggro.
I'm going to go off the board and say Dennis Prager.
Could be the wild card answer. And now, see, again, Mike Lynch, I feel like Ted Nugent would be too obvious in this one. O'Reilly, I'm out. James Woods, I'm going James Woods.
I'm going with the obvious answer. I say Nugent.
Nugent? He does that. That's right. He goes obvious because I know it's going to be obvious. You're right.
But James gets sassy, so I'm going with you. I'm going James.
Dennis, I know it's unknowable.
That's exactly right.
But if you were to venture an answer.
All right. If I were to adventure an answer?
Venture, sorry.
Was anybody not yet a guest?
O'Reilly.
It wasn't O'Reilly. Okay, so James Woods.
All right.
The blog belongs to James Woods.
Oh!
Yes.
Wow.
Take a bow, Dennis.
All of a sudden, Dennis is like, it's a game of skill, people.
You are master. Is there anything you can't do?
Play the oboe.
That's the only thing.
I cannot play the oboe.
That's the only thing you can't do. I feel, you know why you can't play the oboe? It's too dainty an instrument for you. You crush it with your masculine hands.
By the way, just out of nowhere, since I mentioned playing the oboe, I will be conducting a symphony.
What?
At the Walt Disney Concert Hall on August 16th. And I promise you a night that you'll never forget. With the Santa Monica Symphony Orchestra. So mark down August 16th.
Just for a quick second, because I thought it was interesting. I was listening to your radio program, and you were talking about conducting, and somebody said, what is the skill involved with that? Because to a lot of lay people, it sort of seems like, oh, they already know what they're doing. What do they need the guy with the baton for? But you gave an answer, and I thought it was pretty enlightening. So if you could quickly...
Do you remember? Because I have an answer immediately, but anyway, I'll give you one answer.
Can I tell you what I remember?
Yeah, sure.
You called the guy douchebag and told him to go blow himself. I remember that.
That's what you remember?
Well, I think I remember that.
Yeah.
Then you told Alan to freshen up your flask. I remember I heard you threw it at him. I heard that.
So here's another answer.
No, you said... Yeah. You said a few things. You said that the conductor works with the orchestra, so almost like a sort of a football coach or something like that, that it's not, he doesn't just show up and start waving the thing around. It's all the preparation. And so what you're seeing is a bunch of work that they did prior
to this. All the work was in the rehearsal.
And being able to sort of anticipate. Yeah. And I found it interesting, but go ahead and drill
down. Well, I'll tell you a great story that proves what a conductor does. This you have to understand. See, doing this evening, standing before however many hundred of you are here, this is very natural to me. I've never been afraid to speak. I've never been afraid of crowds because I know what I'm doing. But the first time I conducted, I knew every member of that orchestra knows this stuff better than I do. They're professionals. I was dripping sweat. I was that nervous. But I knew this was something my whole life I dreamt I would have a chance to conduct an orchestra. I was given a chance. Anyway, the first time I rehearsed a piece, I was so nervous, I lost the place. And when I did, the orchestra fell apart. And I looked at the orchestra and I said, I am intensely embarrassed, but there's really good news and bad news for me. The bad news is I lost my place and you fell apart. The good news is I really now believe you were following me. And that was the truth. I realized, wow, they really do. They're not staring at a conductor, but they know what beat is happening here. And also, you bring out strength. So, for example, I'm not going to spend much more time on this because it's not of interest to most people. But if in a piece of music, the part I love is only the rehearsal. I only do the final thing because I want to help the orchestra raise funds because I love classical music and I want to help the orchestras. But I love when I can say, okay, horns, I want you with passion to play louder than the rest of the orchestra here. Second violins, you have the theme here. I want to hear it. So first violins, play softer so we can hear the theme in the second violins. That's the part I love, and that's putting the stuff together. So it is a dream. I'll just tell you one other
thing. Are you reading the music in real time?
Yes, correct. You're reading all of the all of the members of the orchestra one time. So I'll just tell you one cute story. I'm abnormal. I fully acknowledge this, and in raising my kids, I had to know, do not expect them to be like you, because I was abnormal, and I know it. I taught myself to read scores in high school, because I did no homework. I had no interest in schoolwork, but I did go every night to the New York Philharmonic Library to follow scores.
Old man Preger walks by the bedroom hoping to find him masturbating. He's reading score.
Yeah,
God damn it.
I don't want to know, honey.
That was first
thing
on my
mind. I hung out at scores a lot, too, back in the day. Different establishment.
All right, well, there's room for everything in a person's life.
You.
Okay. So anyway, what I would do, I would end my day standing at... I'm a little self-conscious telling you this, but it doesn't matter because it is what it is. At the end of the day, I would stand in my underwear, my underpants and T-shirt, and conduct a whole symphony in my little apartment in New York. My friend would visit me, and he every so often saw this. He's still my friend. When he saw me conduct a rehearsal, he came over afterwards. He said, "I can't believe it. From underpants to this." And I had remembered what he had in fact seen.
I love it. And put your hands together. I never heard that story.
And you'll never hear it again.
And I'll never hear it again. Yes. Except for it'll replay in my mind every 19 minutes. So it's on a loop now. And there's a visual component to it as well now. Thank you very much. I see, this is my whole thing with homework and yelling at the kids to memorize all the spelling words and stuff. You were on a trajectory, which is you're insanely curious and insanely bright. It's just memorizing a bunch of capitals was not exciting to a young Dennis Prager. And I'm guessing your parents saw this?
No, they went crazy, actually. My mother said to me through my second year in high school, or she would say to my father in front of me, Mac, his name was Max, she called him Mac, he is going to end up in jail.
Right.
And I really do believe that I
but
would
hold
say...
Hold on, that's Jewish mom for not being a doctor.
That is, oh God, you don't know how bright this man is. He's right.
He doesn't mean
my
jail.
My brother was a doctor. My brother went to Harvard Medical School. He brought them joy. I was neither a doctor nor a lawyer. That means I was a loser.
Yeah, they don't think you're actually going to do hard time. They think you're going to manage a fast food place.
That's
the same as being incarcerated. They might even lie.
That is,
what's
that's
Dennis
right.
doing? He's in prison. I saw him at the Denny's. He was managing. Yeah, same thing. That's before the shooting.
Nope. Mr. and Mrs. Milton Goldberg are proud to announce the birth of their son, Dr. Ira Goldberg. Jewish joke on that exact matter.
All right. Blah, 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 Twitter version. Sorry, Dawson.
We're all tied up in one.
Oh.
Snake emerges from air conditioning unit to eat rat. Same headline applies to America right now. Is it Kumail Nanjiani?
What?
T.J. Miller? Or Thomas Middleditch?
Oh, all right. It's all from Silicon Valley.
Which all the actors from Silicon Valley... the snake emerges from the air conditioning duct to eat the rat, and that's what's going on today in America. Dennis, you might as well just get the second name. Get your
T.J. Miller.
Why don't you just get your yarmulke and randomly throw it over your shoulder, and whatever actor it hits.
That's right.
I don't know. I don't hear a lot from T.J. I don't know why.
Do you follow him on Twitter? Because you'd hear a lot from him then.
He's pretty vocal.
Oh, well, maybe his stuff doesn't break out into the controversial realm or something. I don't hear it quoted, but he's talking a lot, huh?
A lot of non sequiturs. He's insane, which means it could be him. But I follow Kumail and TJ, and I don't recognize this tweet, so I'm just going to say it's Middleditch.
All right. Well, that seems, you see, there is some skill to this, Dennis. Evidently, if you're not lazy and you do the homework. I'm going to go with Kumail, just because it's different than your guess.
Yeah, I'm going Kumail as well.
And Dennis, by the way, has the number two, sorry.
TJ. The bar belongs to Kumail Nanjiani.
Yes! Sheena and I
out
the commanding lead. All right, one more.
You want to do a tiebreaker between you two?
No, we'll do a tiebreaker,
Regina.
All right,
let's do this.
All right.
Sessions did a great job.
Hold on. Dennis is crestfallen that he can't participate in this round. Dennis, sorry. Yeah. This is a round for champions. Here we go.
Sessions did a great job. Dems came off as pushy, obnoxious, interrupting loons, i.e. themselves. Is it Ann Coulter, Sean Hannity, or Tucker Carlson?
Ooh.
Ooh.
You should only give him two choices.
Whichever one's dating J.J. Walker.
Brian, because he has an average IQ and everyone else is lower. I didn't want to call you smart.
I know what you mean.
Was probably correct when he said we should just get two
possible scenarios.
This scenario for the tiebreaker.
All right, who do you like?
Would you like to narrow it down to two?
Ann Coulter or Sean Hannity?
Oh, yeah.
See, this was easy for me. This is not Tucker Carlson. He doesn't. This is not his voice.
Right.
He's much more civil, sort of. I'm going Hannity.
Okay. Oh, you're going Hannity.
Hannity.
All right. I'll take Ms. Coulter.
I'm going blow. Hannity, too.
She was, you can't play. This is the round of champions.
Oh,
this is the round of champions.
Wait a minute. Wait. Why wasn't I a champion? I got one right.
You got one right.
How many did you get right?
Wow. Two, which is
and to be fair, we all got
many.
That one right.
Oh, you got it. It's 100% more than you. Not 80%, 100%.
This sounds like someone needs a safe space.
This is for the popular kids, Dennis, not the ones who conducted in their underpants. And we'll never visit that again. Unless I see you again.
In which case,
we'll have to revisit
it.
All right. So I go with Hannity.
I go with Ann
Coulter. I don't think she could have produced this Twitter while making beautiful and savage love to
Dynamite.
Jimmy J.J. Walker. The answer is what?
The blog belongs to Ann Coulter.
Damn it.
I feel it's a hollow victory, but I'll take it.
All right. I'll tell you what. Why don't we get the news ready with Gina Grad, and I'll do a quick live read because I know how much you guys love that. Smart mouth. Oh, Democrats, Republicans, we can all agree on smart mouth. It's a dual solution oral rinse. It's a part A and a part B. Anyone who does any building out there knows the two-part system, like the epoxies, always better than just whatever squeezing out of the one jar. So this is part A, part B. Dr. Drew, loves this stuff because he loves the science behind it. Zinc ion technology binds to the bacteria, forcing it to stop producing sulfur gas, and it works for 12 full hours. You have beautiful breath. Have some at night. Go to bed. Wake up without the morning breath. Nothing ruins an intimate moment as quickly as a stinky breath. Doesn't matter if you're working out all day like Prager over here, living in gym rat, or you're like me, driving my Lamborghini. You get that breath that smells like wet garbage. That is a deal breaker. And as Dennis always says about happiness, you owe it to people around you to take care of yourself. And he always says, well, your body odor, you owe it to others to keep that
under control. Brush your mood like you brush your teeth.
Right. And your breath, you owe as well. So let's visit them online, smartmouth.com. Find it at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, or wherever you shop. It is Smart Mouth. All right, Gina Grad, we'll do a little news and bring it home. Dennis Prager, shall we?
Here's the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, this week in New York, at an awards ceremony hosted by the National Music Publishers Association, it was announced that a move is underway to add Yoko Ono to the songwriting credits for John Lennon's hit Imagine.
Oh.
Yes. Well, and you're going to love the reason why.
I was thinking about this. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, you'll like this. The basis for the move is a 1980 video in which Lennon said that his wife deserved a songwriting credit for Imagine because of her influence and inspiration to his music.
Okay. This may be wildly unpopular, but that song is wildly overrated. First off, the message is bullshit. I mean, I like it, but it doesn't get anything done. It's just, it'd be nice. It's right up there with Coexist bumper stickers. It's awesome. Except for the bad guys don't listen to John Lennon's music. We listen to it. Like, the people that get the Coexist bumper stickers are your friends at the Sprouts in Santa Monica who are rarely going to drive a van and try to take out people on a bridge and stab them with rebar. They don't. So the people who get the message of Imagine already got the message of Imagine.
That's a good
it's
point.
Not pumped into the ISIS training grounds where they have the monkey bars. If they would just get some outdoor speakers and pump it into where the monkey bars were, it might actually work. But it's not a very good song, and no one has the guts to say it. But it's just kind of, I mean,
it's actually worse than that.
Imagine, nice, but there's nothing.
It's not even nice. It's nice of you to say it's nice. It's actually bad. It speaks of a world, imagining this perfect world, and it includes no nations and no religions. I don't consider that an ideal world. I want the United States to continue to exist as a nation.
That's hate speak, man. And so, Yoko, and look, the contributing to a song, first off, if you live with the human being that's writing the song, it's almost impossible not to have some influence or contribution.
Yeah.
But if he came in and said, hey, hon, I got this line I'm trying to work out. They say I'm a dreamer, but there's got to be a baker's dozen of us out there. I'd probably go, well, how about I'm not the only one? Or something like that. You know, the baker's dozen is funny, but I don't know what rhymes with it. And then, of course, I would be contributing to the song.
Yeah.
All right, this is not helping Yoko for me. She's still a blight. And the saddest thing about Yoko Ono is she is the most famous Japanese person alive right now to Americans. You can think about who you'd, you know, George Takei or something, but Yoko Ono is the most of a nation that just produces, you know, fantastic minds and an amazing innovation. Kobayashi's
up there.
That's true. He's pretty good.
He's up there.
You think about, you
Ichiro's
know,
up there.
And maybe you can talk about, though, there's probably a Honda, but he's not around, and there's a Kawasaki, and he's not around.
Right.
There was a Mr.
Nissan,
Toyota.
Yeah.
Benihana, not bad.
Yeah.
He'd go up on the Mount Rushmore, which would be considerably lower than...
Mount Hiroshima.
Hmm?
Mount Hiroshima.
Mount Hiroshima. Right.
Too soon.
Yeah, too soon.
Still
right,
a city.
So, she is the most famous Japanese person alive to Americans, and she is a witch who basically... I gotta say, the doctor who was dragged off the flight, close your eyes. It sounded exactly like a Yoko Ono concert.
Oh my God, that would be the greatest... That would be the greatest performance art piece ever by Yoko Ono if that was her.
Dawson? Right.
Or we just get him to jam at her next one. Like,
hey, it's Yoko Ono. We should hook up.
Yeah, like the Foo Fighters will do that. They'll go, oh, hey, John Mayer's coming out with us.
Yeah.
The next Yoko one, the crazy coward doctor who claimed to have his nose broken could get up there and Yoko could just be doing it. He could be like, oh.
She needs a guitar. He needs a metal armrest.
Yeah. And then at the end, she could sue him for copyright.
Oh.
Because that's her thing, being Asian and making crazy noises in public. Yep. That's her intellectual property.
It's my act.
That's my act. You're taking food off my table.
This adding songwriting credit after the fact to like classic songs, that's a...
It's a slippery slope.
Well, yeah.
Easy, Gina. That's very offensive.
Easy. Watch it. Watch it now. Come on. Watch it. We like ethnic humor, but we do draw the line.
She took the bait.
I hate you.
We did not work that out.
No.
Right.
What else?
All right. Well, moving on to another entrepreneurial musician. Gene Simmons is trying to trademark the devil horns hand gesture. That is, the index and the pinky finger up. The gesture that he and countless metal fans have been doing for years.
Dennis Prager, do you know the rock and roll hand gesture?
Do it.
Of course.
Do it.
Yeah. So metal, Dennis.
That's right.
Well, the application was filed
As
Friday.
Dennis does it, live long and prosper, he says. Absolutely. He's hip. He knows what's going on. He makes the scene, daddy-o.
That's right.
Gene claims that he came up with this gesture in 1974 in the Hotter Than Hell tour, but the late Ronnie James Dio also claims it as his trademark, and it also happens to be the American Sign Language gesture for I love you, so I think it's already taken.
I don't think Gene understands how trademarks work, because when he was on the radio show back in the day, he was beaming with pride. I don't know if you remember this. He was beaming with pride because he's like, I just copyrighted, the bag with a dollar sign? The bag with a dollar sign? I trademarked that.
Yeah.
Good luck enforcing it, Gene. I don't think you're the first to think of that.
And I'm working on hiccups and air. Those are my next two things.
The big one, blinking. That's all I mean.
Right, blinking, hiccups, and air. Every time someone does it, I get a dime.
Didn't he also trademark, I'm looking it up right now to double check, but didn't he also trademark the word motion?
I don't know, he's figured out it's not enough that he make $200 billion dressed like it's Halloween on the stage. He got, but guess where he's from, Dennis Prager?
Yeah.
Israel.
Chaim Yahweh.
Yeah. Grew up in Israel, then made his way to Brooklyn. A very interesting story. And you guys, insanely, would have a ton in common. Yeah, you and Simmons. Yeah, you really would.
Gene Simmons and I were on Bill Maher's program when it was on ABC. So we talked during intermission. And I have to admit that this guy telling me he went to yeshiva in Israel and Brooklyn was not the thing I expected to hear from this guy's mouth. I admit it was a little shocking.
Yeah, he's
the demon.
He's got range. Yeah,
yeah.
They talked during intermission. Intermission was 3.5 hours long.
I knew I had heard this before. Gary just pulled it up. He, I know he attempted it. Did it go through? He trademarked the word motion. That's the trademark details right here. So dare to dream.
And the name Moisha.
Moisha.
That Jewish?
Yeah. Well, recent surveys have shown that 74% of people believe it's very important to be in control of who can get information about them. And 60% say they would never feel comfortable sharing their email contacts. But during a recent survey of 3,000 MIT students, 98% of the college kids gave away their friend's email address to strangers when promised free pizza.
Do those MIT buffoons?
Yeah.
Let's get a real institute in there and see and talk some smart kids. Dennis, I'm curious about your wiring because I have no information wiring difficulties. I assume my stuff is out there. Mm-hmm. I sort of I think you should treat your life like you treat your phone, which is don't have a whole bunch of nefarious hookups and pictures and things that would get you divorced on it.
Hold
and
on.
Then, yep. And then leave it wherever you like, because there's nothing to see here. It's essentially drive your car, which is your life, with your proof of insurance and your up to date registration, be somewhere under 0.08, and then don't worry about it.
I'm totally on board. Like every one of you, you get these every time I sign up with any app. They said, "Do we have permission to send you alerts?" I don't even know what the hell that means. I really don't. I mean, you know, you sign up for some obscure. I don't know. God knows what, and I never get alert. I don't even know what that means. I only know that if you don't say yes, you don't get the app. So therefore, I don't care. I don't care if people know. In fact, I want people to know where I am. If I am kidnapped, I think it's a great thing to know where I am. I'm pro being known where I am. I just want to say, for the record, you can all know where I am. It doesn't matter to me. It's like I was...
Say this about the possibility of you being kidnapped?
It's minimal.
They've not built
big.
A trunk in a car big enough.
No. Well, that is one of the advantages of being 6'4 and 260 pounds. I fully admit it. Which reminds me, you will enjoy this one, too.
I do want to say you were talking about on your program the other day about getting alerts for symphonic music and a hi-fi stereo equipment, and you were thinking like I would think too, which is how do they know?
The ads. Yeah, the first time I saw an ad,
wow,
everybody wants a preamplifier. I couldn't believe it. So you'll enjoy this, talking about kidnapped. So many years ago, I have a lot of Iranian friends, and so many years ago, I said to an Iranian, "No, I'd like to know one thing in Farsi, Persian language." So he said, "What? Where's the men's room?" I said, "No, I don't think so." He said, "How are you?" I said, no. He says, "Well, what do you want to know?" I said, "I want to have something valuable in case the Ayatollah people kidnap me."
The Ayatollah people.
So I said, "I'll tell you what I want to know," I said to him. "I want you to tell me how to say in Farsi, 'Let's all go study with the Ayatollah.' And I want you to know I say that in Farsi perfectly. Berim pishe Ayatollah dars bukhunim. And whenever I say that to an Iranian Uber driver, I take my life in my hands."
How many, put your hands here, why not? How many languages do you speak well?
Four.
Four well. What are the four?
English, Hebrew, French, and Russian.
And Russian, it's so insane to me that you went to Russia when you were, 19?
Yeah, it is. My life is abnormal. I admitted it. You're right.
All right. Sorry, Gina. What else we got?
Well, this is more of a public service announcement. According to OkCupid, you have about 2 weeks left to maximize your chances of finding a great one-night stand. So number crunchers at the dating site figured out that there's a big increase in people looking solely for one-night stands in the months of April, May, and June. So clock's ticking.
Yeah, it gets a little sticky after that. Like a
little humid everywhere.
The summer months.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Why is that the mating season?
Is that when, people are realizing they're going through breakups? You know, the holidays are finally over. You want to start anew and really get back in there?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
I don't, when I was active, I would have availed myself of many of these hookup apps, although I don't think I could ever work them. And I imagine Dennis would be the same way, and then we'd just end up meeting up at the same restaurant. And then I'd have to come home and tell my roommate, "How'd it go?" "Well, it was kind of a disaster. It was just a big Jewish dude." And they'd go, "Yeah, but you were gone for 5 hours." I go, "Well, it was interesting."
Yeah. "I'm seeing him again next weekend."
That's right. All right, one more.
All right, you got it. Let's see. Oh, here's a good one for you. So a thief in Alabama ended up behind bars after he couldn't figure out how to shift gears in a truck, the one that he stole, and ended up destroying the transmission during a slow speed chase down a busy highway. So Randy Dwayne Vert started the trouble when he abandoned his own car, hopped into a Kenworth T300 flatbed. It was a delivery truck. It was idling nearby. He hit the road, but couldn't figure out how to work the clutch and ended up leading officers on a 16-mile chase that topped out at 30 miles an hour. The whole thing ended when the transmission seized up and allowed cops to just haul Vert to jail. A deputy joked, quote, "Thank God he couldn't find second gear. The pursuit could have gone all the way to 35.
Wow. A little trash talking.
It is true. If you drive a manual shift, your car will never be stolen from this day forth because nobody, you know, and also the folks stealing the cars aren't the 55 to 67-year-old crowd. Yeah. They're probably the 17 to 19-year-old crowd, and those guys cannot drive a stick shift.
They don't know what a standard H is.
Yes, you could literally save. You could leave the keys on the roof and the windows wide open.
Good luck
every day.
I was told Christy that I want to teach Tessa how to drive a stick shift when the time comes, obviously. But is that even going to be a thing? I mean, obviously, it'll be, you know, a niche thing. But like in 16 years,
it feels like
it's going away.
But I feel like
it opens their possibilities, all right?
No, it's like having a green belt in Taekwondo or
How
something.
Can it hurt?
It's fun to say at cocktail parties.
One of these things you get to say at a party. It's a novelty, you know. In the race cars, the problem with the race cars, and I do it every time, is that the patterns change from race car to race car. So if you get the muscle memory of going this way and then pulling it back that way. And I always put up big old cheat stickers all over the dashboard that has the pattern of
how
the
many
car
gears
in.
Are in it, the average. How many gears in the average race car?
Usually lower than five. Usually more, less than you think, because you know there's kind of it's kind of interesting answers. Like I bought Paul Newman's 935 Porsche that won its class at Le Mans. And it's a four-speed, but it's the most technically advanced car the Germans could build in 1979, but it had a four-speed. And a lot of other cars had five-speeds. So, like, this is the height of technology. Right. You're Germans. You're winning at Le Mans. And I said to an expert, why does it have four-speeds? And he said, well, less weight, less shit to brake, and the car's got so much power, they don't need it. So there is a kind of like the Germans are actually so good that they get by with less, and you don't do that thing in your mind, which is, yeah, there's one less thing to go wrong on a 24-hour long race where everything breaks.
I have a question for you. I actually thought of this. It's the only thing I thought of asking you prior to the evening tonight, because obviously it's all spontaneous. But
just in time.
Just in time. No, it's a totally serious question. I was just curious, and I couldn't figure it out. I know, I'm assuming your first favorite object, in other words, inanimate object, not human, right, not animal, your first favorite is cars.
Oh, they beat my kids, yeah.
Okay, fine. All right. So we'll even include it. What do you have a second favorite inanimate object?
The other car? No.
All right, fine.
No, it's interesting. I think it sounds weird, but I would say
in the non-erotic realm.
Okay,
we're not speaking
in the
erotic realm. Yeah.
I would have to say my dad. I don't count him as a human being.
Your GVR's got to be up there.
I mean, obviously, you know, you can say, well, you watch your TV a lot, you know, but it's not my favorite. I love architecture. So I love, like, just, I love my living room, you know what I mean? Like, I just love that. I'm very tactile, very much into mechanics and architecture and putting things together. So that is my, but I don't know if you get to call your house an
inanimate
object.
No, that's fine. Okay, I got that. By the way, we should just say a word about No Safe Spaces before
we should, but we're not. Moving on. No,
that was a great moment. We're making a movie, and if you'd like to, it's a big deal. Believe me, neither of us has a lot of spare time, but this is an opportunity to bring to the world, and America, obviously, in particular, what's going on at our universities, and it's a scary thing. And so we're going to go to a number of universities. We're going to talk to students. We're going to and make a film as well. It's not a documentary. It's a real film, and it's publicly funded because Hollywood wouldn't make this. Even if they knew it would do well, they wouldn't make it because it goes against their political views. But there is a website, nosafespaces.com. And if you could help us out, it would be great, because we're going to give it our try.
Thank you, Dennis Prager. Gina Grad, why don't you bring it home with the news?
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Oh, speaking of proof of insurance, Geico, man. You want to save a little money? You got things to do? How about you add saving hundreds of dollars on your auto insurance? How about you go to geico.com? Spend a couple of minutes, I'd say 15 minutes, could save you 15% or more on your auto insurance. Everybody wants to save money. Everyone loves Geico. Put that extra money. Buy yourself the Yamaka Nerf gun that holds the 20 Yamaka banana clip where you can just fire it at all your friends. There you go. Yamakas for everybody. Nobody pays for drinks tonight. It's Geico, geico.com, 15 minutes, could be saving you 15% or more on your auto insurance. I want to thank Dennis Prager for coming out here. I recommend his radio show. I recommend it as much as I could possibly recommend a product. If people want to know what I listen to when I'm walking the dog or going to the gym or making my business, I listen, or going about my business, not making my business. I listen to Dennis Prager, Pragertopia.com. You can check that out. It's very good stuff. I want to thank Gina Grad for coming in here tonight. And Bald Brian. And until next time, the Sam Crow for Dennis Prager, Gina Grad, and Bald Brian saying, mahalo!
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, the phone number is 888-634-1744. Be sure and get subscribed to Take a Knee, your weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click on the archive link at adamcarolla.com. Gina Grad's got a morning show, 100.3 The Sound in L.A. Monday through Friday. And for tickets and info on all the live podcasts, including the Carolla Cruise this November, Mangree events, books, movies, and more, go to AdamCarolla.com.